It's Wednesday, April the 12th, and you're tuned in to the TNIB podcast. I'm Vince.
I'm Anthony.
And this is the Geek Chic Culture Show, where we talk about all the cool things in the whole wide world. Taking it easy this week. Got no big plans for you. Instead,
relaxing.
We just got a couple things we want to talk about.
We gotta rest before we can rev our engines.
Wow.
Yeah.
That tease, though.
Yeah.
That tease. You can look forward to that next week. Vroom, vroom. So, there's a couple stories out there in the world.
Mm-hmm.
First one.
Are they cool stories?
Oh, they're always cool stories. Okay. If they're on this podcast, they're certified cool.
I want a stamp. You know, it's like certified fresh, just certified cool.
Yeah. That's how you know they're cool stories. Okay. I gotta take off my glasses for this.
Wow.
Because
old man over here.
No, I actually can't read it. But
you can't read it with your glasses?
No, I can read it with my glasses, but my eyes are hurting right now.
Oh, okay.
Anyways, all I gotta say is, guess what, Anthony?
What?
The new Overwatch seasonal event is here! Overwatch Uprising. Now, this is an interesting event.
Because?
Because it is the first event that does not coincide with any real-world holiday.
Oh yeah, true. Yeah, there's no holidays.
No. I mean...
Golden Week?
This does not coincide with that.
I want a Golden Week event. Like,
I don't know how they would do that.
Just high school versions of everyone.
They basically, it's called Overwatch Uprising, and it's actually a prequel event that fleshes out a bit more story and the lore of Overwatch.
Mm.
And it tells the story of the 7 years before where Overwatch currently takes place, and there's an Omnic crisis in London. And so the Overwatch team has to go out, and they got to fight it. And it's a PvE event. So you're fighting a whole bunch of robots and bots. And the team that you are structured with is Reinhardt, Torbjorn,
Tracer,
and Mercy. Yeah. And the event comes with a whole bunch of skins. So you get the Black Watch division of Overwatch, which is McCree and Genji. The Genji skin looks real cool.
Mm.
He's half cyborg man. And then I think the skin that everyone's super pumped for is the Widowmaker before she goes blue.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wait, she was not blue before?
Yeah.
Huh.
Haven't I told you Widowmaker's backstory?
Maybe I don't remember.
She was... Her husband was like a high-up person in Overwatch.
Oh.
And they, the Evil Division Talon couldn't beat him. So instead they went to his wife and they brainwashed her. And they turned her to a sleeper agent.
Dang.
And then they killed him. Or she killed him when she got activated.
Oh.
And her brain never went back. And so that's why she's just this psycho.
Oh, okay.
And that's where she is now in this event. But then down the line, eventually... They don't explain how her skin goes blue, but...
She gets experimented
something
on.
Something like that, yeah.
Okay.
And she gets the spider tattoos and whatnot. But yeah. So that's that. It seems like a cool event.
So I saw you playing some of it.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, the horde mode seems pretty cool. I didn't see, but did you try any of the harder modes?
Easy
seemed pretty easy.
Yeah, it was on normal. Because it was my first time and I just wanted to see. It seemed pretty simple, but it goes normal, and then there's three difficulties higher than that, and I can see how this can get super tough. Like, they're just relentless waves. But the cool thing about this mode is there's two versions of it. There's the story one, like the one that I was playing.
Yeah.
There's another mode where you can pick any character you want.
Oh, that sounds fun.
Yeah. I don't know if you can double stack them, but you can pick any character you want.
Can I quad stack them?
That's, I don't know.
Can I get quad Lucios and just hang out?
Man, that'd be pretty cool.
Right?
But then how would you keep the payload alive?
How'd you keep the beat?
Okay, sure. Yeah, no, but it's a cool event. It starts off with you having to cap 3 points.
You gotta hack 3 points.
You gotta hack 3 points, and then once you get that hack done, you get the payload, and then you gotta defend the payload until the payload can start up, and then the payload moves. And once the payload moves to a place, you open a door, and inside that door, you gotta take out these 4 bots.
Ooh.
Meanwhile, there's a whole bunch of other robots fighting you. It's a lot of fun. I would love to see more Overwatch in
I would love to see PD. A more fleshed out Horde mode rather than just, like, go to the place, cap a point.
For sure. Like,
to be honest, I still want to play that Gears 4 Horde mode.
I have one friend who still plays it.
Really?
And he's like, this, it's amazing. Like, to me, I think, from what I've seen, it's probably his favorite multiplayer game.
Wow.
And it seems super cool.
Well, when it goes on sale.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. Those first party games, man, they never go on sale. Yeah, so that's that is the Overwatch from me.
Overwatch 1 minute?
Yeah, you...
I have a quick one.
Sure.
The one I was going to talk about is Uncharted. one of your favorite game series.
Yeah, because I played all of them.
Yeah, you
except
played,
for the most recent one.
Except for the most recent one, because it's still not on sale.
Well, it was $49.
Was it?
At Walmart, we just went to.
Oh, yeah, true.
Yeah.
So, Uncharted The Lost Legacy is an expansion coming out. They announced it a while back.
Yeah.
It finally got a release date, which is August 22nd of this year. And it'll be releasing for $39.99 USDs. So probably 45 or 50.
This expansion is $40?
Yeah. USDs.
What does it come with?
It comes with story.
Okay.
All right. It's a separate story featuring the girl from Uncharted 2.
Yeah.
I don't know if it'll be cheaper for digital, but there is going to be a physical release of it. And
yeah. I don't see why it would be cheap.
Yeah.
Hmm.
What's it called? Oh, but if you did pick up the digital deluxe edition of Uncharted 4, the Explorers Pack, or the Triple Pack, you'll get the Lost Legacy for free.
Oh, wow. So
if you got one of those special dealies.
Well, I didn't.
So. You'll just get it.
Okay. That's cool.
That's that. Oh, here it is. Yeah. $50 Canadian dollars.
Jeebus.
Yep. There you go.
Okay. That's a no for me. I'll just wait for the complete edition now at this point.
Yeah, true.
Just, right.
Here's all the DLC with all the silly hats.
Here's everything. Yeah. Go for it. Yeah, I'll just wait.
We talked about it last week, but Atlus gave some pretty strict streaming rules.
They certainly did.
About Persona 5.
Yeah.
And straight up, people are just like, fuck it. Like, I'm going to stream it anyways.
Yeah.
So there's been a backlash from the streaming and YouTube communities where they are still just streaming those games anyways and putting up videos.
Yeah.
And they're getting around it because what's happening is that Atlus has to micromanage the people that are streaming it, right? Mm. So what people are doing is that, like, the titles of their videos or their tags are, like, super ridiculous and, like, have nothing to do with Persona to make it really hard to find. On Twitch, they're doing the same thing. And they're finding different ways to use, like, the YouTube tagging system and the Twitch system to make it harder for Alice to find them when they stream it. But there were some fans who are very vocal. There is some Twitter posts here on the news story on Polygon. One of them is I am resuming Persona 5 and I'm not stopping. If I get a DMCA, I will file a counter DMCA. Good day to you. Other people are Atlus, I don't care a shit about your idea of narrative in games versus value versus streaming. I control my video outputs. Fuck you. So the community around that seems pretty pissed, and they're kind of doing it anyways. You make streaming outlawed.
Yeah,
only outlaws are gonna stream, right?
Man, yeah, the world's in a weird place when it comes to, like, digital media and whatnot, because if this were a movie,
yeah,
like, this shit wouldn't fly, right?
The thing I think people want for, or trying to say with video games, at least from what I've seen in the streaming community, is that...
Is it your added value?
It's added value of yourself. And also, this wouldn't be a version that... Even, they say it's this, but I kind of disagree, where this isn't a version of the video game...
That you're going to play?
That someone should play or watch instead of playing it. I disagree, because I know a lot of people who just watch Let's Plays and don't actually play any of the games, right?
Yeah.
And even if they had an inkling, they'll just be like, oh, I'll just go watch a Let's Play.
Yeah, I have a friend like that. And, well, actually, I have a lot of friends like that in the toy community, because they're like, I can't afford games because I have too many toys. And I get it.
If I could virtually play with some toys for free.
Yeah, but you can't, right?
I can't.
Yeah. So, and they're like, yeah, oh, yeah, because it's so weird when I talk to some toy friends and they're like, have you played this game? And we talk about it, and then I talk about mechanics and they're like, I don't know. I'm like, wait. And I feel like we were talking about this whole game together, and they're like, no, I watched someone play it. I'm like, oh, you're a fucking monster.
Yeah, that's the one thing I can never get out of my head. Of like, if you want to enjoy a story in something, like watching it, like, whatever. But when people are just like, oh, I love video games, but you only watch Let's Plays. Like, I'm not saying you're, like, a fake fan, but it doesn't make sense to me. Like, the whole point of video games is to...
Don't you want
to
experience
it yourself? Yeah, is to experience it, is to play it yourself, is to make those mistakes and, like, make your own pathway through it, right?
Yeah.
So,
Yeah. Speaking of video game experiences and whatnot, do you ever find yourself in one of those situations where you're just like, man, I want to get this game, but it's on two different platforms and I don't know which one to get?
No, because I just buy them all.
No, you don't.
No, I don't.
No, you don't.
No. But, yeah, sometimes it's just there's especially with the Switch coming out with a lot of multi-platform games now. I'm like, do I want to get the Switch version for the portability of this game, or do I want to get like the PS4 or Vita version for the for those hot trophies?
Oh, that's why you have a Vita.
Yeah, those hot
Secrets
trophies.
out. Ah, okay. Well, Square Enix heard your plea, and they're like, listen, for Dragon Quest XI, we got a PS4 version and we got a 3DS version.
How am I gonna choose?
You don't have to. We're gonna sell you one big box that has both of them inside.
Yeah, so I saw this and I'm like, man, how did they get those two companies to agree on this? Or did they even have to?
That's true, yeah. Right?
Because I know you have to pay licensing fees to put a game out on their platform, right?
Yeah.
But I wonder if there's any rules against, like, boxing separate platform versions together
and then selling it as one
and selling
package.
It as one package.
Yeah, that's true,
which is really cool. And to be honest, it like hit the collector part of my brain.
Yeah, I want to buy this.
Like, I've never heard of anything doing this before.
Yeah,
and I'm like, hot damn.
That's like you always hear about it when it's like video games that are on the same, that are owned by the same company. Like,
yeah,
like you got a Vita and a PS4 version,
you get both, you get the cross buy,
or it was like you get a
Windows. Or yeah, you get the Wii U and a Wii,
or the 3DS version together. But
you get the Windows version and the Xbox version.
Yeah, but this is Nintendo and Sony, so this is really cool.
We were talking about it before, but like, I've never beaten a Dragon Quest game.
No, you have not.
Like, I think I've gotten about halfway through Dragon Warrior when I was a kid, but I really haven't touched any Dragon Quest games since.
Do you have Dragon Quest 9 on the DS?
DS, I do not. I've actually been trying to look for that because I heard that one is really good.
That's probably the, like, as for a my first Dragon Quest, that's the best one.
Okay. Not Dragon Warrior?
No.
Not original
NES?
No.
All right. No. Yeah, 9's really good. 9's fantastic.
Okay. Yeah, I have 8 on the PS2.
Yeah.
I just, that was when I was in a phase of I should just buy these games so I have them.
Yeah.
Rather than actually playing them.
Yeah.
And I haven't really touched that, but 9 is the one, like you said, a lot of people are just like, hey, if you want to play a Dragon Quest game, like maybe start with 9.
9's
or if you really want to be weird about it, maybe buy that new Dragon Quest Heroes game, but
that's not...
That's a completely different thing.
Yeah, but it's also pretty entertaining, that game.
Yeah, that
game
really
is
fun.
Pretty cool. It gives me hope for the Fire Emblem version.
But I like this box. It comes in like the big sword.
Yeah.
It's got two...
So the thing about the sword is, every time I see it, all I can think about is the Falchion from Fire Emblem.
Oh, okay.
And I'm like, how come this is just not Fire Emblem?
Yeah, true.
But that's for myself only.
It's not. Mm-hmm. It's not for me.
Yeah.
The other story I have, or my last story, is a hot Canadian retailer, Mad Catz.
Mm-hmm.
They give you all the best in aftermarket controllers. And other
the best,
the air quotes, the best.
Okay.
I say their arcade sticks are really good.
That's probably the only thing that I got going for them.
They made some pretty shitty Rock Band peripherals.
They sure did.
They put air conditioning in your controller if you got sweaty hands.
Oh yeah, they put the fans in.
Yeah, they put those fans in. But they're going out of business. They have filed for Chapter 7 bankruptcy in the United States, and they are also pursuing bankruptcy in Canada.
Damn.
I think it was last year in February, if you remember, they came out with a statement saying they're going to have huge layoffs.
Yep.
About 30-something% of their workforce. And that was kind of the showing times of Mad Catz is in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And they were in trouble. They're out of business. So if you got those hot Mad Catz aftermarket controllers, maybe hold on to them.
Or if you don't have one and you still see them,
get them.
Buy them.
The thing I wonder, though, is I want to know what killed that company. Because it seemed like overnight, Mad Catz was like, well, we're booming. We're in the fighting game industry. We're doing all this, making moves, making money. We got PC peripherals now. And then just out of the blue, they're like, oh, crap, we lost so much money. I'm kind of wondering if it was Rock Band.
I'm pretty sure it has to be, because I remember you suffered from it, and it was a very, very common problem.
Yeah. I also remember now that the deal for Mad Catz was that Harmonix had no relation. They just gave them the ability to make the peripherals. But like any sort of loss or profit or whatever, they took all the risks, Mad Cats.
Yeah.
So if they got screwed over on the peripherals, I wonder if that Rock Band 4 was really a big enough hit to take them out of business.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
So yeah, they're donezo. Goodbye, air conditioned controllers.
Bye bye, Mad Cats. Buy those tournaments. I might buy
tournament stick.
Yeah,
they did make my favorite mouse. So like in recent memory, which is like the Rat 7. Have you seen that?
No.
The Transformers mouse, the one where you can like
you can off move different parts
and move like the thumb grips and stuff. And, like,
for sure.
That was an awesome mouse, but.
Yeah, I think I'm going to buy a stick so that I can just, you know, hold on to it and then sell it.
To me?
No.
For friend prices?
No.
No, oh, man.
You buy the stick then.
All right, fine. I will. I need a PS4 stick.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
Cool. Last thing I want to talk about is a movie trailer.
Yeah.
That is for Thor Ragnarok.
This trailer was weird. Do you want to say anything before I get to get to my point?
I loved it.
It's a cool trailer.
Yeah.
But they're getting really Guardians of the Galaxy with this shit now. The weird 80s fonts and neon and stuff happening during that whole during like any sort of text segments of that trailer. Yeah. The music they choose to put over it, which is Led Zeppelin.
Yep. I didn't know that.
God damn it. that really hurts actually. How do you not know that?
I don't know.
You're a bad person.
I could tell if it was Fred Durst.
God damn it. That just makes it worse. If they put the Nookie on over top of the floor right now. I did it all for the Nookie. What? God damn.
Continue. What's your point?
It's weird that they're trying to label all these, or not label, but not all of them either. It's just, it seems like certain trailers are going towards more of a jokey theme, even though the content seems very serious.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Marvel movies always have their jokes and quips and whatever. But nothing on the lines of Guardians of the Galaxy, where that's kind of like the main focus of the team, mm-hmm. is that they're all a bunch of weirdos and misfits. Mm-hmm. And then with this trailer, they're highlighting a bunch of jokes and stuff. It makes almost the destruction of Asgard and like the kidnapping of Thor seem like a way less serious event than what it sounds like on paper.
Yeah.
So I just wonder if the movie is actually going to be very jokey like the trailer, or if it's going to be dead serious. Hey, my people are dead or dying from this new villain.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Marvel movies to me they're serious, but they got their balance of comedy and stuff. Like, I never really take them as a serious drama. The closest one would probably be Winter Soldier. That's the closest one I could think of. Okay. But like when I think about Iron Man, or I think about the Avengers or Guardians, even the previous Thor, it's just kind of like, yeah, it's got its like, we got to save the world, but at the same time, it's shit's popping off and we're having a good time.
Okay.
But yeah, the direction switch to make it look and appeal to more like a Guardians fan base. I mean, they had to do it. The Thor series is probably the one series in the entire Marvel catalog that was a bit, I don't want to say the least successful, but it was the one that was the most divisive. A lot of people didn't know what to think of it.
I think I'd give that title to the Hulk, considering he doesn't even have a series anymore.
Probably. Yeah, but the Thor one, like, everyone's like, oh yeah, Iron Man, like, you know what to expect, and you're into it. Captain America, people just kind of universally love.
Yeah.
But Thor was the one where it's like, the first one was kind of, people were a little iffy on it, and the second one, no one really knew if they liked it or hated it.
Mm-hmm.
And this one is more into space, and they've I like how, you know, because with the Guardians movie, they've set a tone of what space could be like, and this just feels like it follows suit. We're in space, we're going to follow that tone.
Mm-hmm.
I do not like the 80s... graphics they were using in the trailer, but yeah. I mean, that's who cares? I mean, if the movie, it probably has no bearing on the movie.
What did you think about the reveal of Gladiator Hulk?
I thought that was awesome.
Yeah, like, it kind of makes me disappointed that Hulk doesn't have his own movie. Like, I would love like a Planet Hulk or a World War Hulk movie.
Yeah, it makes you wonder how the Hulk got there,
right?
Yeah,
because yo, I remember that what's his face? Who's the head of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Fury.
Yeah, Nick Fury fucking sent Hulk into space in the comics, at least.
Yeah, because the last thing we know about the Hulk is at the end of Age of Ultron, he's taken the Quinjet on his own.
Yeah.
And what the fuck did he do? Jump from Earth?
Maybe.
I don't know. So it'd be interesting to see there. The changes they made to Thor. Interesting.
Cut his hair.
Mm-hmm.
He's a weird Transformers helmet.
Well, it's a Transformers helmet, but it's the helmet that I feel like he should have always had from day one.
Yeah.
Right? It's the Thor Odinson helmet. He doesn't have the hammer.
Yeah, he does not. It got wrecked.
Yeah,
man. It got riggedy wrecked in the trailer.
It got wrecked. And that's always fun when you see, like, the hero's signature weapon just...
Yeah, like, when it's a big event in the Marvel Universe and, like, someone snaps Captain America's shield.
Yeah, you're always excited. Damn. You're like, yeah. Or, like, I'm into that. Like, cool. I hope that means, like, maybe we get to see, like, Battery Bill.
That'd be cool.
I don't think we will, but... It's cool.
Or so, you think you'll see him, but it's like the collector, right? He's like, he's there.
Yeah.
But if you know who he is, then hey, oh my gosh. Yeah. But if you don't.
The thing I'm most excited for, though, is more Loki.
Yeah.
I totally forgot about him.
He's in a position of power in that movie, right? When he's in the, when Thor's in the battle arena, Loki's up there sitting on the king's bleachers in the hot VIP seats.
Yeah. Where is Odin?
No.
Yeah, man.
Dead?
Let's hope not. No, the movie looks great. I'm pumped for it.
There was
I'm
the really one. Excited. There was the one scene with it looked like a lady demon, and she had the big black horns coming out of her. That's cool costume design. I really liked that costume.
Yeah,
it seemed like there's some cool space stuff going on.
Definitely. Yeah, look forward to this movie.
Same.
Is this the only? Oh, Spider-Man's the other one.
Yeah,
I'm way looking more forward to Thor.
Really?
Yeah.
More so than Spider-Man.
Yeah. Spider-Man just looks like generic. I hate to say it, but now Spider-Man just feels like he's like this cookie cutter superhero movie now.
Okay.
Like, I look at that movie and I'm like,
yeah. Every couple years we'll bring out an origin story.
Yeah, and it's just like, oh, here's Spider-Man. Great.
Remember the Goblin?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, great.
That's fair.
Am I looking for... So for me, I guess Guardians is still the one I look forward to the most.
Yeah.
Then Thor.
Then Spider-Man.
And Spider-Man I'll watch out of obligation.
Because of Spider-Man.
Yeah, because I feel like I have to at this
point. What if they do some weird, like, time travel? What if he goes to the future?
If they do, like, that'd be pretty sick, actually.
Like Batman Beyond version of Spider-Man.
I would like it if they collected all the if they did Spider-Verse in a movie form.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, and they just have all the Spider-Man.
Tobey Maguire comes back.
That would be
Andrew Garfield that would comes be back.
Something else, wouldn't it?
That'd be kind of nuts,
right? You'd just be like, "What am I watching?"
That sounds great.
Yeah,
see that.
Yeah,
but it's Spider-Man 3, Tobey Maguire.
Oh god,
with the emo haircut.
I guess it would have to be because that's the last time we saw him.
Yeah,
he must be old by now.
Apparently, he can't get acting roles anymore. I think he got arrested for like a illegal gambling ring or something.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't remember. I think it might have been him.
Poor guy.
Whatever, man, don't run illegal gambling rings.
That's true.
That's also true.
Yeah, when you're a celebrity and you're making the dough, like why do you need to do that?
You need that thrill.
I guess so.
You got it all. What else do you need?
I guess so, that's true. When you're at the top, I guess you search for what's happened at the bottom. So something like that.
It loops back around.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't really know. Yeah, was that all our picks for this week?
That's all my picks for the week. I didn't have any more unless you had some.
I don't think so. I don't think, like, I can search through my reader.
Your RSS reader?
Yeah.
That sounds like the most boring on airtime we can do.
The new Mega Man cartoon has found a new home.
Okay.
It's at Cartoon Network.
Sounds garbage.
It begins production this fall. Or this summer. Production. Production.
Okay.
It's done by the Ben 10 team.
It's not really...
So take that as you will.
Whatever.
Hear about the third... the fan-made Dragon Ball Z fighting game?
No.
Hyper Dragon Ball Z?
No, I did not hear about
that. It's made using the Mugen Engine.
Okay.
Is
it a 2D fighter?
Yeah.
Wow.
So for those who don't know, that's the engine that made Darkstalkers and... Is it Super Street Fighter?
It also made Salty Bet the hottest Twitch
stream. Yes, it did. Anyways, I recommend you guys check it out because they added new characters and stages and stuff. It actually looks real cool.
All right.
And they're custom sprites.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I should check this out.
So it's real neat. I definitely recommend you all check that out.
Huh. I never heard of this before.
Yeah. The other thing, too, is did you hear about that malware that forces you to play a game before it unlocks your files?
What?
Yeah.
That sounds hilarious.
So there's this malware going around on the internet somewhere, and I forget what it is, but it's basically a game. Like, it locks you out of your files.
Holy.
And it says, to unlock your files, beat this game, or, like, get a high score in this game. The problem is the game's impossible to beat.
I was going to say, like, really, a malware is going to be that nice?
Yeah. So, okay. it's going around. I thought it was just a fun little story. I mean, obviously not fun for those involved, but...
That just reminded me, there's these YouTube videos going around. It's like, let's destroy X.
Yeah.
And one of them is, let's destroy Windows 10.
Yeah.
And they go into Google, look up something, and then go to, like, page 100. Mm. And then try and get all the viruses they can and see how messed up their computer can get.
Yeah.
They're pretty fun videos. Like, they run them in the sandbox, so they're not going to get fucked. But it's pretty cool. Those are pretty cool videos.
Well, there you go. It's, watch out for that malware.
Yeah, don't. Get an antivirus, please. Please.
Nah, just.
Just go for it.
Yeah, man.
It's rough. Feels better without protection.
Exactly. It's like, you would know. Yes, you would. We're talking about our cell phones, guys.
Yeah, I don't have a case on my phone. Jeez. My S4 looks so nice without a case.
Let's move into our weeks. Do you want to start? Do you want me to start?
Yeah,
you
I'll start.
All right, tell me.
Not. I'm going to start by changing my mind and you starting.
I only have one thing I'm talking about.
Go for it.
I finished Tokyo Mirage Sessions.
Yes.
After.
Okay, wait, cancel it. Change my mind. I want to switch back. Okay. I want to go first because I want to talk about that in depth later.
Okay. I thought so.
All right. Okay, so I'm going to start off with some comic stuff. I am a big fan of a series called Saga.
Saga? Oh, yeah.
It is a famous, or pretty
it's pretty popular.
It's pretty popular. I would say it's probably one of the most popular comic series.
Right now, yeah. That's not, like, by Marvel or DC.
Yeah,
yeah, for sure.
I have an issue with this series right now. So I am on the seventh trade came out recently. I just picked that up, bought it. And I'm having my first ever negative moments with that series.
Okay.
And the series, and the problem is how they handle character death.
Death?
Yeah.
Alright.
Death.
Alright.
Which is they play a lot on death being something you can't foresee. Like, it's never foreshadowed and stuff like that. Which is cool, right? For the first couple times.
For the first couple times?
Yeah.
Okay.
But eventually, there's this problem I have where it seems like everybody is just in the wrong place at the wrong time. And whenever they need to get rid of a character for story, they're just like, oh, look, this character was in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Mm-hmm.
And here's a panel
mm-hmm.
of them dying, right? I'm not going to spoil what happens, but
mm-hmm.
in the latest issue, a couple people die. And they die not in the same way of like how their death is, but how it's set up. The setup is you are in the wrong place at the wrong time, right? And it's through no fault of their own. It's just like sheer bad luck,
mm-hmm.
right? And it's kind of getting rote in the series, which is surprising because I haven't had a single bad thing to say about Saga.
But it's now turned.
Yeah, but now like just they're using that same formula to handle the death of characters, and I'm just like, I'm done. With this, I just wish there was maybe more reasoning or build up or all characters just seemingly die out of the blue for shock value, and then when you get to your like 10th character in a row doing that, you're just like, I don't care anymore. Like, oh great, they killed another one. Fantastic. But the thing I want to bring this up is that I still think it is going strong, even though there is that little gripe there. It's got some of the, now that we're in the seventh trade, there, you know enough about some of the universe around you where it's really fleshed out weird space stuff. And like stuff that I haven't really seen in other sci-fi. The one I really like is characters called Time Sucks, and they're pretty much creatures that are the equivalent of black holes.
Okay.
Right. And you ever see 2001: A Space Odyssey?
Not recently.
Okay, you remember the giant space baby?
Sure.
Yeah. So imagine if that was a real thing, and like Saturn's rings were around the baby's head and had like black for eyes and shit. Right. They're getting into like really cool, just imaginings of what could exist and stuff like that. And if people haven't read it, I really do recommend it. It is very mature. I think the second page of this issue or of this trade has just straight up like a fucking alien dick in your face. Like this guy's just jerking off in front of it.
What does his dick look like?
It looks like a dick.
Like a male?
It looks like a man's
human dick?
It looks like a human
dick. But it's an alien dick.
But it's all silver.
Silver dick?
Silver dick.
Damn.
He's got a TV for a face. So instead of watching porn, he just turns it on in his mind.
Oh, man. That sounds like fun.
Yeah. But the only downside is that when you're dreaming, people can see your dreams. So you can go watch him dream about stuff.
That would be super cool.
See, like, the characters and the imaginings of what aliens could be in the series are really great.
Damn.
So I just wish they handled character death better. Everything seems like, for as imaginative everything else is, it seems like they can't think of ideas of interesting ways to kill off certain characters.
Sure.
But it's a really good read. So there's 7 trades out now. I think there's one of those, like, deluxe hardcover collected, like, the trade of trades, that kind of a thing.
I always mean to buy a couple of those for series I like.
That's really good. I really recommend Saga. But I'm going to go back to the tried and true Fuji games. I did it last week. I forgot to talk about it. But I finished Jazz Punk.
Jazz Punk.
I got Jazz Punk a while ago on the PC, when it came out. I just never finished it. And then it was like on a flash sale, I think, for PlayStation 4.
Yeah.
It was like the director's cut with a bunch of stuff. And I finally finished it. Surprisingly, that game is only about 2 hours, 2.5 hours long.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's very short. But it's very tightly packed with stuff. If someone had told me that this game was the movie equivalent of the movie Airplane or the movie Naked Gun,
I would have
jumped on that game immediately. It has kind of a slow start. But once you realize what the game is trying to go for, it's this really offbeat, kind of almost ridiculous humor, like kind of, I don't know how to explain it if you haven't seen those old 80s comedies, but it's very absurdist comedy. There's a lot of stuff where and it's cool because you have to find it. Each level is like this mini open world, and you could just go straight for the objective, but if you look around for different stuff, you'll find different jokes, you'll find different mini games that have different their own mini storylines and stuff. Mm-hmm. I think one of my favorite jokes was actually in the first level, where you have to infiltrate the Kremlin to get the secret files. But there are some files that are on the reception desk. So when you're trying to take the files off the reception desk, a loading bar appears and it says transferring files.
Oh.
And it's slowly taking the files off the desk, and it says like 64 kilobytes, and it's going and going and going. So there's really clever stuff like that. It's a very short game, so it won't take up much of your time. But if you do like kind of offbeat humor, or those two movies I mentioned, Airplane and Naked Gun, which are some of my personal favorites, you'll absolutely adore this game. I can see why some people a couple years ago really, really loved it. Really good. And then I've been playing Persona 5.
Sure you have.
I have. I'm about 24, 25 hours in.
Holy, you've been playing Persona
5. I've been playing Persona 5.
You didn't start it on Tuesday either.
I did not.
When did you start? Like Friday? Thursday?
Started Friday.
Wow. So it's like over the weekend then.
Yeah. Okay. I also, I could have got more, but I got that league bug.
Well, that's a good, it's good. In my experience, it's good to take breaks from any one game.
I could have easily had about 50 hours by now if I didn't play some league.
Okay.
But yeah, Persona 5.
Yeah.
It's, the game's good.
Better than Zelda?
I don't know yet.
Oh.
Because here's the thing. Zelda is, every time I wasn't playing Zelda, I was thinking about playing Zelda.
Oh.
Where every time I'm not playing Persona 5, I'm thinking about playing Persona 5. But it's not like this thing, like itching away at me, like, play it, play it, play it, play mm-hmm. it, play it. I'm able to take breaks. I just don't have to have it in my hands at all times, right? So, right now, at least, I wouldn't say it's a better game, okay. but it's probably number two in this year's lineup. I still haven't played Horizon Zero Dawn. I still haven't played Nier and all that stuff, but it's, fuck, man, it's good. Persona's back. Persona's back with a vengeance. You know how Shinobi was back?
No, Shinobi never came back.
Shinobi's back!
I don't know about you, Shinobi never returned.
But now, yeah, now Persona's back. There's just a lot of great convenience features they put in this game.
Like?
Like, you know when you're doing, you get the one more, you hit an enemy's weakness? Yep. But then that last enemy is of an element that you don't have, or you're on a non-main character and you can't switch persona. Now they have a thing called the baton pass, where when you knock someone down, you can press R2. And if they have this ability, you can baton pass to another character.
Like outside of your...
No, it has to be within the party.
Oh, that's tough.
Instead of that person who caused the one more getting the extra turn, you give the extra turn to someone else, and you get a power boost.
Oh. Right?
So it's like, oh, that last guy, I hit everyone with lightning, but that last guy is Bufu. I pass it over to the person with Bufu.
Wait, if you hit everybody with like a party attack like lightning?
Yep. Like a Mazio.
You still get the one more, even though one of them isn't.
Yeah, you still get the one more, and then you baton pass it to the next person.
Okay.
Right? Or say you're the main character, and only you have a persona that has this character's weakness.
Mm-hmm.
What you can do is just press, I think it's R1. The game will cycle through enemies who haven't been knocked down or what weaknesses, and it'll compare it to the personas you have. It'll automatically switch personas and automatically highlight the weakness skill.
Oh, so you don't have to go to the persona
menu. You don't have to go to the persona menu, switch out, then go to the skill menu. You press one button, analyzes. If you've already figured out the weakness, it goes, here's your persona, here's the persona you need to use, here's the weakness.
Oh, that's nice.
It's super cool.
That's nice.
And I'd like to talk more about, like, dungeon stuff, but I don't know how spoiler-free you want to be.
I kind of want to be spoiler-free.
Yeah. So I won't really talk about, like, the way they have dungeons set up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to talk about, like, aesthetics and stuff.
Yeah.
But the way you explore dungeons is a lot different. A couple of times where my knowledge of past games actually screwed me over on wasting items or just wasting days. Like, it took me a certain... Like, it probably could have taken me one day shorter to beat the first dungeon.
Oh.
If I didn't expect something to happen, but then it didn't.
Okay.
Right? So I was like, oh, shit. But it's really good. You still got social links. You still got all that stuff. I like the new towns here in Big City, here in Shibuya. Everything is just better.
Tell me this. Are there a lot of areas in this game? You know how, like, in Persona 3 and 4, it was like, you have your school, and you got the mall.
They have, they do have a lot of areas. Mm-hmm. You can fast travel to all of them.
Okay.
So, and if you unlock it, you can fast travel to specific stores. So it's like, I know that the equipment shop is in Central Street. Yeah. Instead of just warping to Central Street, you can warp to the shop and just be inside it.
Okay.
Right? So it's very convenient.
Okay.
On the world map, too, if you forget where certain maybe social links are, they'll have a little tarot card over the area where it's like, there's a social link in here.
Oh, that's so nice. Right? Yeah.
There's so many nice convenience features.
Yeah.
It's more clear on how much progress you're making towards certain social links and skill points.
Okay.
So if you're reading a book, or say you're studying, right? Normally you only get, or you'll get a skill point in like Persona 4, right? But you don't know like if it's worth a lot or less, or
how much more you need.
What you can do now is that there's more efficient ways to use your time than others. So if you're studying on a rainy night, it'll help you concentrate. So you'll get 3 points towards knowledge instead of one.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll show as like 3 music notes. Or if you're like, oh, I need a couple more friendship points before my bond strengthens with this social link.
Yeah.
Right? It'll show you like, oh, you hit 3 bond points. It'll go into that character. And then at the end of your session with him, it'll be like, hey, my bond is going to strengthen next time.
Okay.
Or it's soon. Right? No, they don't say next time.
Mm.
And it's just I can't really, like, the stuff I want to talk about is mm-hmm. kind of spoilery because you haven't played it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really good. I don't know if you have any. You're gonna play it eventually, but
I'll play it at some point.
Yeah,
at some point I'll play it.
Yeah, I have to say though, the soundtrack is probably one of my favorites. Yeah. I still think P3 has the best battle theme.
Sure does.
But Persona 5 soundtrack, I think any of the other ones out of the water. But I really like jazz. So
okay, yeah. That's my one hold up. I don't know how much I like jazz.
But you like red.
I do.
There's a lot of red in this game.
I hope so.
Yeah, even transitions and stuff. There's just simple things of going from a battle to going to the stat screen or your reward screen.
Yeah.
Everything flows into one another. Doing your all-out attacks. If you do an all-out attack and it wipes the party, you get a special finish and it goes straight to a stat screen.
Oh, cool.
There's just a lot of... There are little things where you're like that kind of they're graining on the old games and they just smooth the shit out of them.
Yeah. Sounds like fun.
It's really good.
But I mean, it has been 10 years, so true. I expect nothing less.
I would hope so. They also made Catherine in between that. Yeah. Hopefully they learned from that as well.
I expect nothing less of this team.
So I said 24, 25 hours in.
Yeah.
I beat the second dungeon and I'm working on my way to the third dungeon.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, the way this story is progressing, it's kind of the thing we have with Kamen Rider, if people listen to the Kamen Rider segment of the show, where it's like, where do you go from here? Right? Like, stuff is progressing so fast.
But would you say at least that the plot is there and you care about it?
What's I do.
On? Okay.
I do care about the plot. Like, the fact that you're the Phantom Thieves, you're trying to steal people's hearts. It's pretty much you're not stealing. You're trying to...
Make people better?
Yeah, you're trying to make people better.
Yeah.
You're not actually taking anything. It's weird.
No, man. You're cutting out the evil.
You might as well be taking out... You're taking out pride, almost, in most of these people. You're taking out the fact that they're shitty people. And you're almost giving them the ability to have remorse and to have empathy.
Yeah.
And then them realizing that, hey, we did something wrong.
Is this game grind heavy?
No.
What?
Yeah, so they have a lot of instances for you to grind. There is a dungeon. So remember how in Persona 4 you have dungeons, and then when the dungeon is done, you could go back?
Yeah.
You can't go back in this new one.
Yeah, well, I would never go back.
Oh, there's usually bonus bosses. Like, if you climb the tower again, there's usually, like, in P4, there was always an extra boss that was harder at the top of those dungeons again.
Okay.
But you can't go back into those dungeons, but they've replaced it with the... with almost a Tartarus-like system.
Oh.
There's a separate dungeon for the general public.
That they could just grind
in? Yeah, you can just go in and take mini requests and mini stories and stuff like that. And you're getting XP at a pretty steady clip. So by the time I was in the second dungeon, I was kind of already over-leveled for it by like 3 or 4 levels because I had done all of the other, like the public dungeon stuff as well.
Hmm.
I think my favorite part, though, is the fact that they brought... It's truly a Shin Megami Tensei game now.
Oh, I know you can talk about.
The talking to people?
The
talking to demons?
To convince them to come to your side.
To convince them to come to your side or to give you stuff. That stuff is really fun.
It's fun because you don't talk to them as if they're human.
You don't.
Yeah.
Right? You have to check their personality type.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to answer accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's so much better than just like a roulette system of like, what did you get? Oh, it's a ghoul. Fuck.
Mm.
Right? It's like, I want this person. And the thing is, if you still have your compendium, if you want to buy your personas back, you can.
Yeah.
But if you want to be stingy, you want to save that dough.
Yeah.
You can go back and re-recruit from the wild.
Yeah.
But the thing is if you have already captured them once, they'll just let you do it again. They're like, oh, hey, I remember you. We used to be homies.
Oh, really?
I'll come back.
Okay, wow.
Right? So it's very convenient.
So you mean like after you fuse them and you go back to find...
Yeah, say I had a Jack Frost.
Yeah.
Right? And I fused him to make Black Frost.
Yeah.
If I go out in the wild and find a Jack Frost...
Yeah. Oh, it's like, just the same Jack Frost?
Yeah, the persona is the same. It's just sometimes there's multiples of them. It's weird.
Okay.
They actually try to explain it in one of the Velvet Room options.
Okay.
But yeah, it's just like they remember you. They're like, oh yeah, hey, I hung out with you. You were a cool dude. If you want me to join back again? Okay. Yeah, sure, let's do it.
All right.
Right. Or you can ask them for money or you can ask them for items.
Cool. Sounds like you like it.
It's so good.
That's what I hear.
I wish I was playing it right now.
That's I can imagine that.
You should play it.
I'll get to it. I just need a break from JRPGs right now.
Yeah, you did finish Fire Emblem Fates.
Yeah. That's my
week. Oh, no, sorry, Sharp FE. Sharp FE.
I finished Tokyo Mirage Sessions Sharp FE, aka Persona Cross
Fire Emblem. That game is also so good.
It is.
But.
And yet.
Oh, no.
It isn't.
Oh, no. Okay. I want to see why.
So, I like, as a Persona fan and a Fire Emblem fan, there's things this game does that I just fucking love. And I love the general grind of this game. Or I like the feedback loop of the game. Basically, what you're doing is you go to the dungeon to fight and grind, and then you level up your people there, and then you go back to the Bloom Palace, where you can get the stuff and materials you got in the thing to get new weapons and get new upgrades. And then I love it in games when your skills are linked to weapons, and then you gotta upgrade, or you gotta fight with those weapons till you learn all the skills, and you master the weapon, you get a new weapon. Yeah. Like, I've always loved that
game. Did you ever go back to old weapons to get the plus one?
Yeah, I got up to like plus 3 and 4 in some of them.
Wow, nice.
Yeah, so I like that part. I like that part, but there's but the actual game was just so like, this totally feels like that there was like 5 people in the Persona 5 team who were like, nah, let's just do something else. I got this small little passion project. Let's do that.
Okay.
And they said, okay. And Nintendo heard, and they're like, we'll fund it.
Put Fire Emblem in there.
Yeah. All right, there you go. Fine. Done. Take all your Personas, put Fire Emblem in. Done.
No and, dick monsters for you.
Oh, yeah. Man. And it's just like, I guess I was expecting a little bit more on the Persona side. Like, I walked into this to expecting, not necessarily the school life, but I thought I would get to be like, what is it really like to be in the idols or acting,
you don't singing. Feel you got that?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Not at all. I just feel like...
You don't like hanging out with your Tomodachi?
I felt like I hung out with my friends, and they were doing stuff.
Okay.
And then it's like, one day, your best friend is suddenly the biggest idol in the world, and you're like... How'd that happen?
Hey, what?
Yeah, and okay. You don't really get to see what she does or what they do.
But Vince, you don't want to be a pop star. You want to be the person helping your friends.
Sure. But at least I would like to see what that's like. I think the game's pacing and the fact that there is no calendar. You don't know how time is being... or how time is progressing.
True.
I feel like...
Each chapter feels like a time skip of some sort.
Yeah, and you're like, but what is this time skip? Like a year? Is it like a week? Is it... And
entertainment business is a fickle thing, my friend.
I know.
Overnight, you can become big.
I know. And it's I didn't care for the actual, like, the main plot of the game, if you could call it one. All you know is that, like, there's somebody out there who is bad.
All right.
And he's doing bad things. And we get to the end, and the villain is exactly who you think it is.
Mm-hmm.
And then... You beat the villain.
And everything is...
And good. It's sunshine and rainbows! Yeah.
So the thing I always thought with that, the story, like the actual through story, was not the actual story.
No.
Like, it's just like, here's just a reason to have cool powers.
Yeah.
My favorite part was hanging out with my friends. Like, for me, the reason I liked it is because coming off of Final Fantasy 15, they're, like, that is the opposite of what this game is.
Yeah.
When I finished that game, I felt like I was no closer to my friends.
Yeah.
The things that happened to them that should have been tragic, I was just like, what? That happened off screen? That's stupid. I don't care anymore. Yeah. I haven't spent time with you at all.
Yeah.
Whereas in Tokyo Mirage Sessions, when like something happens to a character, it's like, shit, I've seen you go through a bunch of stuff and I helped you.
Yeah.
Like, I'm kind of invested in this character.
No, totally. Like, I get like the way that they did their social links, I think it's all fine and I was really into some of them. It's just like, do you know how in Persona you have to choose how you spend your time and who you want to invest your relationships with?
Yeah.
Like, I guess I missed that. For this one, it was just like...
You missed the choice instead of doing it all?
Yeah.
Weird. Yeah. The thing I always hear people in Persona complain about is I always feel under pressure because I don't know if I'm utilizing my time efficiently.
And that's why you value your relationships more in that game.
Okay.
Because you are limited. This one is just like, you can complete everything.
Yeah.
And it's just like... Okay.
I did it. That's fair.
You know, and it's kind of like whatever. But I love the battle system. I thought it was super fun.
At the end, I did find it kind of graining. Just like, I never got tired of it. Oh, really? Okay.
What I did get tired of was the fact that every time you went to battle, no matter where you were, it's the same stage.
Oh, okay.
That's what really I found super annoying.
How did you like how RNG that battle system is? Like, sometimes you're in the corner, and then RNGesus is on your side.
Yeah.
And just like, special, special, special.
Yeah, and then it's like, oh, ad lib? Oh, okay, cool. Yeah. And then the dual arts?
Oh, the dual arts showed up, and then another session, and another ad lib.
And then another dual arts? It's like, awesome.
You took 14 turns worth of damage in one turn.
I think I got like up to a 22 hit session, and I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Feels good. I was like, this is great. But then sometimes when you need it, it's like, it's not coming.
Yeah, right?
It's not coming.
There's also the other one of like, I am also in a corner, and then the enemy just shits on you. Yeah. And then they session off, and then it's like, damn, that hurt.
Yeah. I think my problem with that battle system is I wish you had a 4 party members, not 3.
Not 3?
Just because you have to...
technically you have like 6 or 7.
Yeah, but I don't like how you... Because the main character, because he is a certain class, he's not like in the Persona games where you could switch his personas out. Mm-hmm. He's limited to...
He is Zio.
Yeah, he's Lightning and Sword, and that's it. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, the amount of monsters that who are weak to that in this game are...
Not very many.
So to always have him is a bit of a burden on that battle
system. I equipped him with a lot of persons or enemy type specific attacks, like Horse Slayer and Giant Slayer, like that kind of stuff.
So. Yeah. I thought about that, but then I just ended up using one of his SP skills that just gives weakness to everything.
Oh, okay.
And then that worked it out for me.
How did you like the Kamen Rider?
Oh, see, like, I loved the actual story. Kind of stuff, I thought it was great. I liked his was fun. I liked,
I liked his costumes, like his Kamen Rider costumes.
Yeah, those Masquerader, really cool. Olga.
Yeah.
And, Raiga.
Yeah, Raiga was cool.
For Lightning, yeah. Yeah, that was cool. I really liked when Yashiro got to the, he became the villain in Masquerader.
Oh, yeah.
And he has, like, the cool, like, doctor outfit. That was just sick. I did not like, the little girl.
Oh, you didn't like microwaving with?
I mean, I was like
Momoko or whatever her name was.
You know what? She was fine. I didn't like how she was attached to Barry.
Okay,
I did not like
Barry. Barry was a little creepy.
A little,
tiny, tiny bit.
Man, and when you finish his storylines, it's just like you're a fucking creeper.
Yeah, you went from metal concert god to Weebalicious. Like. Yeah.
I pretty much like all the other stories, though. I really liked, I ended up really liking Eleanor the best.
The
Hollywood
lady. I want to be in Hollywood, but I know nothing about it.
Yeah. But then again, I loved your class the most.
The archer?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course you did. You like her persona the best, too?
Yeah, Vuron?
Yeah.
Oh, so that's what I was going to say. So, because I'm a huge Fire Emblem fan, I knew all of them. I was like,
I knew none of them.
I was like, I bet this goes right over your head. Yeah. I was like, yeah.
I heard of Tharja before.
Yeah.
But that was about it.
So, like, did you know that you could figure out the monster's weaknesses just by seeing the weapon they're holding?
What?
Yeah.
No way.
Like, they have the weapon triangle.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So, if the monster's holding an axe... Just fight them with a sword.
Damn.
Yeah, if they're holding a lance,
fight them with an axe.
Yeah, use the axe.
Hot damn.
Yeah, so like, there's a lot of little mechanics they use from Fire Emblem in here, and I'm like, holy shit. And that made it super cool.
Didn't you say also like all the sound effects and stuff?
All the sound effects and the level up sequences, it's all from Fire Emblem. The final act they do, the song they sing, that's the main Fire Emblem theme.
What?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
That's the original Fire Emblem theme that they've remixed.
I just wanted to talk about... Who you turn into
at the end. Oh, yeah, you turn into the Hero King?
It's so stupid.
Yeah, I was like, huh.
You just straight up, hey, guess what? You're the Hero King.
You're Marth. Have fun. The story they're talking about is Fire Emblem, as in the first Fire Emblem.
Oh, okay.
The game that's been remastered on the DS is called Shadow Dragon. That's what it is.
Okay.
So that's what makes sense. But yeah, like there's a lot of little small little Fire Emblem nods they put into it.
Oh, that's why they had a shadow
Fuck! Yeah. Man. Like this, like for, if you're a Fire Emblem fan, like there's a lot of stuff that they just really, really pander to and you're just like, damn, that's awesome.
I just liked it for friendship and fun times.
Yeah. When you put on the Master Seals, I was like, holy shit, they're going to give me Master Seals.
Is that a thing in the game?
Yeah, when you upgrade your unit, you always have the choice of either going, an upgraded, like, balanced, or you go for the min-max
version. Oh, the specialization?
Yeah. So, like, when I saw all the classes, I was like, okay, I know what I need to be. Like, I know that Tsubasa's, she can't be the Wyvern Knight. She has to be the one that's the Falcon Knight.
Oh,
Just
okay.
because I knew her healing. But I knew Yashiro would be better as a sword master versus a hero just because
He's got a sword.
he's a fucking edge lord.
Yeah, he is. He is the edge lord.
Yeah. So yeah, like, and there's just a lot. I was like, that's so cool. And then you get another master seal and you could reverse it if you kill the other one. I'm like, yeah, it was so neat. Like, I liked a lot of the gameplay aspects. I just really did not like the plot and the fact that the game felt so small scale. Like, I wish this game were a 100 hour game.
It was just in Shibuya.
Yeah, and like, I wish it was just, I wish someone said, looked at this and said, okay, we'll take your idea and we'll just blow it out there instead of just,
Okay.
we'll take your idea and leave there. Like, to if I if this game, like, this game feels like it was made on the PS2, like as a precursor to Persona 3.
All
That's
right.
what this game feels like. And if I played it back then, I would be sitting here telling you this is probably one of my favorite games of all time. But because it's 2016,
All right.
2017, it's like, the things that this game has done are obviously really been done better in Persona 4. And as cool as the Fire Emblem nods are, and the battle system is really flashy and neat, it
Fan
just,
service is not
yeah,
enough.
it doesn't live up to what I was hoping for it. Like,
Okay.
I still really liked it, but it's not better than, you know, any of the Persona games to me.
All right, that's
Or any of the Fire Emblem
so
games.
like I also enjoy it because even though I didn't know any of that Fire
Yeah.
Emblem stuff,
Yeah.
I thought because there are six chapters in that game,
Yep.
yeah, because the plot is only really shown in chapter one and
Yeah.
chapter six.
Yeah.
I thought it was clear from the outset that the game was trying to tell me that it's not about the darkness. It's not about whatever. It's truly about learning about yourself and becoming with your friends. So I never really focused on the main
Yeah.
plot
I
all
guess,
that much.
see,
So
I had that,
the
see, because I remember feeling that way when I first booted up Persona 3, because in that game, you don't really know what happens till the summer.
True.
And so I was expecting this game to be like halfway through, shit's gonna pop off and we're gonna
But
get
then nothing
something.
happened.
Yeah, but then nothing happens and I'm like, oh.
Oh no, it's all about those social links, dog.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah. But I really liked it. I definitely recommend playing it.
Would it have changed anything on like a top games list for you if you played it earlier?
Oh, it definitely would have probably been one of my favorite games of last year. Like,
Okay.
I know I'm being hard on it, but I really did like it.
Okay.
Like, last year I liked what most? Titanfall and Overwatch. It probably just after those two.
Wow. All right.
Maybe I might like it more than Titanfall. Yeah.
Wow. Man, I really like Titanfall.
Yeah. Yeah.
Titanfall's good.
Like, I really did fall in love with the cast, like, in Tokyo.
It's what I always try and tell my friends who are way into 15.
Yeah.
I'm like, guys, if you really want a game that's like friendship and dude bros and whatever and hanging out like with
Yeah.
your Tomodachi, like play Tokyo Mirage Sessions.
I think, I think it's the thing that people like about 15 is, like, you know how it just seems like such on a grand scale that you're doing things, but in, like, even in Persona, everything always feels so, like, small scale, like, and that's going from, like,
Just focus to your group.
yeah, and, like, even it goes down to the places you visit, like, it's just these small little set dressing scenarios, and, like, I don't know about you, but when I'm playing the Persona games, like, I can't wait till I get to a scene where, like, it's clearly like a custom little scene that they've built just for this one story
Oh,
beat,
yeah, I know what you mean.
or they're just wearing a costume that you'll only ever see in this one scene.
Like summer vacation
Yeah,
or
like, it's so small, but because, like, the game is so small, you're just thriving for when they change it
and you're like,
up.
something's different here, so
Yeah.
something will happen.
Yeah.
So I just got to one of those in Persona
Oh,
5.
okay.
And it's, yeah, I had that same moment of like, oh,
It's
this
different.
is a different setting that I will never see again,
Yeah. Yeah.
right?
And I feel like that feeling is why a lot of people don't like going to those Persona games, just because they want to, I guess when you say JRPG, you think Final Fantasy, and you're like,
Yeah.
we're gonna go on this grand
Save the
adventure.
world, save
Yeah,
the
and we're gonna go
universe.
see many things. And in
Okay.
Persona, you don't get that.
Yeah. But yeah, it's just weird when like I think about that. It's like it probably is that grand scale.
Yeah.
But when people talk to me about it, it's like, oh, my friends
Yeah.
and this a lot of small scale topics they
Yeah.
focus on. Where I'm just like, dude, Persona.
Yeah, but and the same with Persona, it's like, yeah, but it all comes at you like a visual novel, right? Like,
Yeah.
you don't get to see it all
You don't get
in,
cutscenes.
yeah.
Well, you do sometimes, but
But again, you're just hoping for those
cutscenes. You're waiting for those anime cutscenes because something's gonna... Oh!
Yeah. But yeah. I like Tokyo Mirage Sessions.
Okay.
Very good game.
Yeah, I also... Yeah, that was really good. I'm glad you played it because I wanted to get like a Fire Emblem fan's perspective on it.
Yeah. It's real cool. I was a little bit disappointed that there was no weapon degradation.
That would have been terrible.
But yeah... But once you get to once you get past level 50 in that game, you have all these abilities.
You start rolling.
You're just like, man, like, GG easy.
Yeah.
Like, wow.
Especially as soon as you can start sessioning from parties or people outside of your party.
Yeah. Like, it's ridiculous. Like,
it's nuts.
Yeah.
Like, one attack is like 5 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all I did with my week.
Cool. It's probably the end.
Yeah, you ready to talk about Kamen Rider?
I am ready to talk about Kamen Rider.
Let's talk about Kamen Rider.
Yo, crossover episode.
Yeah.
They introduced the new president.
Yep.
It was weird.
Mm.
So it's been a while since we watched the last one, and I completely forgot that Gem got...
Killed.
Wrecked.
Yeah, for context, we're watching episodes 23 and 24.
Yeah, 23 and 24. And I totally forgot that Gem got wrecked by Paradox.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so I was like, who is this guy? Where's Gem at? Oh, yeah. He's dead.
Yeah.
And this guy, new person, new head of Gem, very flamboyous.
Very animated.
These two episodes, they really went with the, like, appealing to kids hyperactive editing.
Mm-hmm.
There were a lot of scenes where it felt like people were buffering.
Yeah.
And it's just like, did I miss a couple frames here? Like, what happened?
No, that's just artistic style.
Yeah, it's just that artistic style. But it's like, this is mid-season Kamen Rider.
Yeah.
Shit happened.
Kamen Rider Chronicle is here.
And it's large and in charge.
Yeah. Like, the main point of the show is here. And basically, it is a video game in real life.
Oh, man. It's one of those, like, those Japanese animes I've seen.
Something like that.
Something like that. But I like how they use the game corporation to sell the general public these Chronicle drivers.
Yeah.
And then it's like, hey, play the game.
Yeah.
Right? It's cool. You get a Kamen Rider suit, you look nice.
Yeah.
There's these other rare monsters that are also called Kamen Riders.
Yeah.
And they have cool shit you should steal.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, from Kamen Riders I've seen, it's a little, kind of the most adult I've seen Kamen Rider be. Like, Forze was always very...
Mm-hmm.
Kitty, even when stuff started to pop off in Forze.
Yeah.
And I also didn't get that far in Gaim.
Yeah.
So I don't know how that fleshed out, but...
It gets dark.
Does it?
Gets dark.
Dude, Paradox just murders 6 people.
Yeah.
Right?
Episode
24.
It's not unexpected, considering he did murder.
Yeah, but the thing was, is like, there's a difference between, oh, look, here's the big bad,
yeah,
and I'm going to kill him to... make me the big bad.
Yeah.
And there's a difference between being like, hey, you're these innocent bystanders that I sold things to.
Yeah.
Get dead. Yeah. He just critical finishes the shit out of them.
Yeah.
And it shows what Kamen Rider Chronicle is all about.
Yeah.
It's about the Bugsters taking control of humanity.
Yeah.
It's, we give the humans these drivers. They are not prepared.
Yeah.
We wreck them.
Yeah.
And kill them in an arena of battle.
Mm-hmm. It is. And like in classic Japanese fiction, there are 13 boss monsters.
Of course. You got to fight the pyramid. You got to work your way up the ladder.
Yeah. Yeah. And it is hinted at the very end that we're going to get a new Kamen Rider.
Yeah.
Girl.
What? Mm-hmm. Is it Poppy? You think it's Poppy?
It is her.
Yeah, it
is. She got the driver at the
end. She got the driver at the end. Oh, man. They give... Yeah, so the new head of Gem, I assume, is also a Bugster, right? Because he was able to go inside of Poppy's game.
Yeah.
And he brainwashed Poppy.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, you work for us now. You are our tutorial lady.
Yeah.
And you're going to hang out with us and be a part of our team.
Mm.
She's like, sure, whatever. Right? And then at the end of the episode, they gave her a goddamn driver. They gave her his... Death's driver, the zombie driver, but with a new gas hat. It's like the dance game.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder how it's gonna work out.
I mean, I've seen it.
Have you?
Yeah.
Already?
I know what it looks like.
Oh, it looks cool.
I won't say anything.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's wait till next week.
Yep.
Okay. But yeah, it's stuff that, like, stuff is starting to go. And finally knowing what Kamen Rider Chronicle is, I'm like, yes.
Yeah, it seems like we've gone to the meat and potatoes portion of Kamen Rider X8.
Which is funny to say, because I think the whole show has been kind of meat and potatoes. Like, mm-hmm. I haven't really felt a weak episode in this whole series. Mm-hmm.
But there's a tone shift, and it's here.
And it's dark.
And it seems like, you know, the three Kamen Rider boys are going to finally be friends.
I think they have to be.
That's true.
Like, the literal world is against them.
Yeah.
Or at least Japan.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
It's Japan. Probably a region-locked game, you
know? Probably.
Yeah, like, what did you like the reveal?
Yeah, I thought it was really cool. It was darker than I thought it was going to be, and I'm way into it.
I should watch Gaim, though.
Yeah, should. But it was fun stuff. I just don't know. Yeah, where do you go from here? Like, is it that now our X8 and company are going to have to beat the 13 bosses all over again?
What are they going to do with the civilians that keep getting in their way? Yeah, because a lot of them are just running away from them.
Yeah,
or at least our main heroes are running away from the civilians. Yeah. So.
Yeah, there's a. Yeah, I don't know.
There's also a hint of, like, sometimes people don't care if you're overpowered, mm-hmm. right? What's his name? When M turned into his final form, his super, super shitty robot form.
Oh, Mighty Maximum X.
Mighty Maximum X. Everyone ran away, or at least a bunch of the players ran away, except for one. And he's like, I can't.
Yeah.
Like, dude, it's over. I win.
Yeah.
Right, but he was still trying to go for it, right? So I wonder if they're gonna throw in more civilians to get in the way of stuff, mm-hmm. or if that's just gonna be more of like an escape mechanism of Bugsters being like, I'm in a tight spot, oh hey players, look, he's got rare things, and then they all attack him and he runs away.
Yeah Who knows?
We'll see next week.
Yeah, we can't wait. Two episodes next week to catch up on, and we'll see how that turns out. Anyways, you can look forward to another episode of TIB next week.
Yep.
We'll be talking about some speedy race cars.
Speedy race cars?
Yep.
Are you sure it's about race cars now?
You're right, it's not.
Or is it about...
We're talking about G.I. Joe and some tanks.
There you go.
Maybe a submarine.
Or two.
Yeah, who knows. Oh, and people.
I know deep down, you still love me.
Who knows? Maybe DK will make a famous...
Oh, return. Man, if DK shows up and drifts on the tundra... Damn.
You never know, right?
He drifts a missile.
At this point, this series is unpredictable.
Yeah, because DK isn't dead.
No.
He's just injured from falling off that mountain.
And he's
hanging out with the Yakuza.
Assumed to be a good guy now?
I thought he was still hanging out with his Yakuza uncle.
I thought that ended with him, like, turning against him, being like, I don't want part of your shit anymore.
Maybe.
I can't remember. Did you read that there's a story that, like, one of the screenwriters for Fast and the Furious said, yeah, we can see this movie eventually ending up in space?
Yeah.
And it's what?
Yeah, because I don't know. Like, I can see them taking this movie places, or this series places, because...
Which is ridiculous when you think about where it starts.
But think about where it is from where it started.
I know, but still.
They're racing a submarine in Alaska or some shit.
I guess.
The Rock kicks a torpedo.
I guess he does, yeah,
right? Sure. The last time you saw something... In the first movie, the most exciting thing was when they drag raced a quarter mile down a... street, and then Toretto got hit by a train.
Yeah, man, because he lives his life a quarter mile at a time. Into that.
I like though how Dominic Toretto has this pretty much anime main character quality to turn any person to his side. Right, it doesn't matter if you're a cop, a robber who's on an opposite side of you, but are betraying someone. Like, the loyalty these people have to Dom is through the fucking roof, right? It's almost like the Luffy situation.
Yeah.
Where in One Piece, no matter who you are, if Luffy wants you as a part of your team, you're going to be a part of the team because you just can't resist.
Ridiculous.
Right?
Ridiculous. All right, so before we see that movie.
Yeah.
Predictions on what it is you think. Why is Dom evil?
I don't think it's his choice.
Okay.
I think that what's her name?
Charlize Theron.
Yeah, Charlize Theron's character.
Sombra.
Yes. Zombra has something that is either she's either threatening the family.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, if you don't turn on your family, I'll just kill your family.
Okay.
Or it's just something like some retcon shit.
Oh.
Right? Like, hey, Han's not dead.
Oh. Like,
you know how they retconned the Tokyo Drift explosion so that
yeah.
What's his face? The transporter?
Yeah, Jason Statham.
Yeah, Jason Statham killed Han.
Yeah.
What if there's like a back scene to that where behind the car is Charlize Theron pulling Han out the car?
Wow.
And then they're like, we put Han in space. And then they go to space. Yeah.
Wow, okay.
What if Lil Bow Wow comes back? Ooh. What if the mastermind behind everything is the man with the Hulk car?
Yeah, how come Bow Wow's not in this series anymore?
I don't know. He didn't even appear in the flashback.
Yeah. Oh, I guess.
Like, when they go back to Tokyo?
Well, I guess, like, yeah, I guess for the Fast and Furious squad, like, they're trying to erase Tokyo Drift as much as they can.
Dude, no!
I mean, like, because it was the...
The best movie of the series.
I won't say it's the worst one.
Because that's too fast.
But it's the one that doesn't belong.
It's the best movie of the series. And also, it being the biggest poster in this room right now, I think has a certain...
I can't believe I took this poster.
For those that don't know, or you haven't seen, like, when we were talking about our anime talks and stuff, Vince used to work at a movie theater,
yeah,
and he took the movie-sized poster of Tokyo Drift.
It's large.
It's very large. It is the size of the wall.
It sure is.
And it's great. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
You want more wall scrolls?
We should just fill up this entire wall.
Yeah, I got another Final Fantasy one. I got a Crisis Core wall scroll.
I feel like we should just fill up all the walls in here. All
right, let's do it.
Also, I think Dom is a robot. And that's... He got hacked.
Dude, it's replicant Dom. Yeah. Oh my god. Where's the real Dom? Or was there a real Dom?
Who knows?
Oh, no. Dom's a goddamn robot. Oh my god. Alright.
And that would explain why he doesn't race anymore. And that's why he's mastermind at heist.
He's been programmed to heist. Paul Walker reprogrammed him. And that now that he's dead, no one knows the password.
Nah, to be honest, I think they're just gonna leverage the fact that, you know, how Paul Walker was written out, like, canonically he's,
yeah,
him and his
oh, maybe they'll threaten
that family. Okay. And I think he has to put weigh the scales, right?
Okay. I think that would be kind of lame.
It would. I think so too.
Like, the way they
I just can't think of anything more important, unless it's a brand new thing, but that would feel so ridiculous if it's a brand new thing they bring up, and like,
yeah,
I don't know. And they're like, Dom, your mom's alive.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Your dad didn't actually die.
Yeah, like something like that.
Okay. I don't know.
Whatever.
Your dad is Jeff Bridges. Like everyone else's dad. Your dad is Jeff Bridges.
That'd be hilarious.
Tom Cruise is in the movie. Yeah.
We need Tom Cruise in Fast and the Furious.
You gotta hang out with the Mission Impossible team.
That would be amazing if Tom Cruise is in the next Fast and the Furious.
I could do that.
No. It'd be sick if we had a Fast and Furious with the Oceans team crossover.
There'd be so many names. We heard you guys are good drivers. Eh, we're okay. And then it just shows like a bunch of scenes of them doing crazy shit.
Yeah.
I just want to see all the practical effects, like when they dropped all those cars out the parking garage.
Oh, yeah, that'd be cool.
Like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, cool. Well,
question, though.
What?
Do you want to see this movie in D-Box?
No.
Oh, man.
I'll see it in the same theater with you. I'm just not going to see it in D-Box. Oh,
dude.
I'll just sit in the row ahead of you.
But it's a car movie.
Yeah?
How can you not... Oh, how can you not see it in D-Box?
I don't know. All
right,
fine. D-Box is nothing for me.
All right.
I get more enjoyment out of 3D.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I get like zero enjoyment out of 3D, but D-Box was cool.
D-Box for me starts just to be distractingly uncomfortable.
Really?
It's just like...
I crank that shit to the max.
No, it's like, I don't want to hear the pistons going off in my chair.
But it's the car pistons.
No, but it's not.
It's your suspension.
It's not. Like, I'd be way more into it if it was kind of like, I'm in VR.
Okay.
And I got a headset.
You look around.
And then someone's like throwing a bucket of water at me when I go into the sea.
You want that 4D experience.
Yeah. All right. D-Box just isn't enough.
All right. You know? Okay, okay.
It's just not there.
Damn. Yeah. All right.
Anyways, more talk about these cars next week. Don't worry, guys. We'll get you there.
There's some hot wheels in there.